Welcome to the Barnyard, folks, and I'm your host, the Domino King. Remember, follow us on Instagram, watch us on YouTube, and listen in on SoundCloud at the Barnyard Podcast. Now today, folks, it gonna be a TKO in here, you heard me? I have the CEO and artist of TKO Records, Mr. Wentz.
Turnkey Objective.
Winston.
Yeah, Winston O'Ryan, what's going down with you,
chilling, my brother. How you feeling?
Man, cooling, man. Happy to be here.
Yes, sir. And also, I have an artist, producer, and engineer representing TKO, Mr. Chief Aaliyah.
What's good, man?
Chilling, my brothers.
How you feeling?
Welcome to the Barnyard. Right, let's get into it. All right, y'all go ahead and eat. Get 9 dominoes. Remember, Big Six starts the game. So, today TKO Records, they've been so busy producing and recording that they pretty much haven't learned how to play dominoes. So that's my job here today, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna teach these boys how to play dominoes. So my first question for y'all is, turn the dominoes over.
Oh,
you can't let nobody see your dominoes. The first question is, how y'all let this game elude y'all? We'll start with you, Wentz.
Man, look, all my partners, they know how to play spades and dominoes, and somehow I ain't get the knowledge, man. But I think it's just, you know, being busy, man. You
six,
know,
three.
Always being busy, man. Getting in something, man. But you know what?
Pushing towards your dream.
Yeah, for sure. But you know what? Today, we gonna learn.
Yes,
you know,
sir. So yes, sir.
That, man,
yeah,
right.
Look.
Hold up.
Normally, when a domino touch the board, that's what it is, right? But you knew today? Now, since I seen some of your dominoes, I know you have 6-3. So you go play 6-3 right here so you can score 15 points.
All
right,
man.
All right. Now, you got to say it, 15.
You gotta say it?
Yeah, 15.
Oh, 15.
There you go. All right. Shit, look, I already paid you though.
Yeah. Hey, all right, so you always wanna do the bigger number type shit, right?
No, you always wanna score.
Bro, that's gonna be a long
game. You know how to count, man. You know how to count by fives. You got that.
All right.
You know? So you just look at the end and you wanna match to it.
But I'm sitting looking at this, I'm thinking, all right, so I know this is 6 on here and it's 3 on here, so I'm like, where are you getting 5 from?
So you're looking at this, it's 12, right?
Okay.
And then you count the other 3, which is 15.
Do the ends.
Only the ends.
Okay.
All right. So this one covered up right here, so you don't
mess
with it.
But it's like this one, you want it to match with this, and then you add whatever is on the outside of it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now I got you.
Unless somebody cover it up, and then you don't count anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, Aaliyah, how have this game eluded you?
You know, I don't even know. I played every other game but dominoes. I fuck with the Uno, chess, checkers, all that other shit, Monopoly, but somehow just skipped over dominoes.
Oh, bro, y'all ain't have them cats, them old cats under that tree playing them dominoes.
Probably not. I guess not. Playing poker and shit.
Bro.
You feel me?
I get down with some Texas Hold'em.
All right. Hold on. Let me not. So I could just stick this whole thing in, right?
Yes, sir. All right, so that's a spinner, so you'll put aside.
Okay. When it's double, when it's the same number of dots on each side, it's the spinner.
Yes, sir. Okay, then you sit inside sideways. All right. So, Mr. Winston, Wentz, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. You know, I got my label, it's Turnkey Objectives, TKO, you know, Turnkey for short and all that. But really, I'm just an artist and out here, you know, just trying to hold it down for the Third Coast, you know, Houston, H-Town, just speaking on my reality, man.
That's what's up. And how about you?
What was the question again? I was so focused on making sure I got this all right.
Let the audience know a little bit about yourself.
Oh, my name is Chief Aaliyah. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. I moved here when I was 13, and I've been living in Houston since then. I lived in Missouri City, and I just recently moved over the side of Houston, you know, near West Park and stuff. So, been working here, just making my own music. I'm me. more of alternative hip hop.
Oh.
So you're making some like alternative?
Yeah, like I work mostly in general hip hop, you know what I mean? But when I produce and stuff, I love to sample other genres because it's just a wide range of music. Why not? You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
So I work with like R&B stuff, lo-fi, soul. I did more of a lo-fi R&B album for Lauren Harris this past summer.
All right.
Last year. So I'm just trying to get my feet wet in every genre as I can, be versatile.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to keep it on you right now. So how did you fall in love with hip hop?
Straight up listening to it, you know what I mean? I feel like once you know, there was a point where I knew like music just make you feel some type of way where you hear this shit, it's motivational, it gets you through stuff, like it's therapeutic, like, and I just knew like hip hop is it, you know what I mean? The lyrics, the beats, the people behind the music, you know what I mean? I think that's what counts too, is the character. So you see that like there's some real stand up people in hip hop, you know what I mean? So I just fell in love with all of it at a young age. I used to play sports, and then it just got to a point where I was skipping practice and doing bootleg recordings at my crib, and just I was like, damn, this I love music, but the quality sounds so crappy. So how do I, you know what I mean? How do I make the quality better?
Do it yourself.
Yeah, engineering. So yes, I was like, sir. Fuck it, let me just start doing that. That in high school and just expanded that. I used to start recording everybody, so I would save up the money I get from that, and then just put that more into my own work. You know what I mean? And then start doing it for real with school and stuff.
That's passion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. So, Mr. Wentz, how did you fall in love with hip hop?
Man, I think I fell in love with it for two reasons. The original reason was just like what I would hear on the records, you know, would reflect what was really going on around me, you know, and I could relate to it. So, it's like, you know, like it's something you could relate to. So. I tend to listen to that, you know, like SUC growing up, like, you know, Trey Zero, and then
Screwed Up Click.
Yeah, SUC, yes, you know what I'm saying? And then after a while I started getting into the craft and the lyricism of it and stuff like that. So, you know, then I started branching off and listening to other people as well, like Jay-Z, Nas, Lupe Fiasco, people like that.
You know who always pop up in my head? Archie Lee.
Archie Lee.
Yeah. It's always a track from Archie Lee that just pop up in my head and I find myself rapping. Because I come from Louisiana and, you know, before we really had, you know, No Limit and Cash Money, you know, we just straight up listened to Texas music, you know what I'm saying? And it had the New Orleans thing, the bounce music and stuff like that, but, you know, you only go jam that so long, you know? You want to get in a certain vibe. We was jamming, you know, DJ Screw, you know what I'm saying?
You know? SUC. RIP DJ Screw,
yes,
man.
Sir. Yeah. So, man, ain't nothing but love. So, your play.
Okay.
So, speaking on the industry, man, what's your thoughts on the industry today? So sometimes I listen to the radio and I just cut it off because I'm disgusted of some of the stuff out here.
Mm-hmm. As far as that, man, I know, like, getting in your feelings about it or anything like that, or saying like you don't like, it's not gonna help me as an artist and what I'm trying to do. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like I feel like it should be a balance, but you know, you gotta find a way around it. You know, like at the end of the day, you gotta find a way around it. You gotta adjust. So you know, that's like what I'm currently trying to do now. And some of the stuff that I think is garbage, I still like it for other reasons. I feel like, some, if you're in the industry, it's for some type of reason, you know, like whether it be your melodies, your hooks, you know, some.
Oh, your uncle?
Yeah, yeah. Or whatever, you know. So, yeah, man, I just try to like soak up what I can from anything.
Yeah.
Feel me?
All right. Same thing to you.
For me, it's more like for the longest now, I don't like listening to the radio because I can't pick what I want to hear.
Yeah,
I can now. Sometimes, you know, I might go on the radio. You find something you might end up liking, but I'm gonna just take that, put it in my own music library, and put it because I don't like all the stuff on the radio.
Yeah.
But I feel like hip hop's one of those things where, like, or not even just hip hop music. Every 10 years, the industry changes. If you look back every 10 years, it's gonna sound completely different. So I'm just like, change is gonna happen regardless. So
exactly.
I'm gonna just pick out for me what I like, and then get influenced by that, and not listen to everything. Sometimes I feel like I listen to stuff where it's probably not like the biggest, like most content in it, you know what I mean? It's like substance wise, but it's not all about like thinking, sometimes just feeling it, you know what I mean? You just fuck with the song because it set the right mood, it set the tone, the energy type shit, you know what I mean? But yeah, some of the radio trash still though.
Do you ever feel yourself branching off to different genres?
I really like jazz. my dad, he has his own online radio show. Mm-hmm. So he has like smooth jazz and stuff. So I've always been influenced that. I got you. Smoothjazzforyou.com. You know what I mean? Go check that out. You know what I mean? He just actually dropped the app for it. So y'all should check that out. I can give you the link and stuff, put it in.
Bet.
But yeah, so my dad's always had this like huge collection of jazz and it's like relaxing. You know what I mean? I love all the instruments that come from that. I love bands.
Yes, sir.
So that's really what I've been working with lately, of trying to take my beats and then working with a band to kind of bring those beats alive for performances and stuff. I feel like that's something that's really missing in hip hop, again, is bands and stuff.
Yeah.
I like when artists
perform with them. The live band feeling, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can feel the energy with that.
I feel you. How about you? You ever branch out to different genres?
I listen to everything. Oh, yeah. I listen to everything. So, you know, like, I try to take a little influence from everything. As far as like doing other genres myself, maybe if I
some opera.
I don't know about that one. That might be out of my range, you feel me? But yeah, man, I try to do some, you know, I want to try to get involved with like, you know, the live part of it, like, you know, like instruments and stuff like that. So
I feel you. So that's why you got this fire ass engineer with you right here. So you can get in with them live bands.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So how did you choose the name TKO?
So it's Turnkey Objectives. Yeah, TKO. I kinda was looking for something that had multiple meanings to me and was led. So Turnkey Objectives is kinda like, you know, just like unlocking your potential, you know. Unlocking your potential, unlocking your goals and dreams, man.
And your sound.
You got to turn the key to get
sound,
in.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? That's the objective. You know what I mean? And even, you know, just like unlocking your mind, man, because a lot of people out here, they out here and they, you know, kind of like, I won't call people sheep or nothing, you know what I'm saying?
But, oh, they sheep. They definitely sheep. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, just trying to like, unlock all that, you know what I mean? Unlock your potential as a human being, man, and just rocking out, man, you know.
Hey, don't feel bad about calling people sheep, because it is what it is, because just look at the whole political aspect of how this country is right now.
Mm-hmm.
How did all those people vote for Trump? You know what I'm saying? Make America great.
Yeah.
When was it ever great? You know what I'm saying? I'm a black man. I'm trying to figure it out. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Which one
I look at the history. I'm trying to figure out when it was great.
Yeah.
You know, so. Right. You know, they sheep just fall in the lead, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's been done all through American history. And a lot of people aren't creative, aren't thinkers. They can't think outside the box. So they rather just go along with what's been said. Like, take the Bible, for instance.
Mm.
King James Bible, you know, King James chose what he wanted in the Bible and stuff like that. And now in this digital age, we're able to really analyze things, and you know, yes, the Bible probably have a lot of truth to it,
mm-hmm.
but yes, it was picked and choose what was put in there. You tell that to some hard down Christians and boy, they ready to kill you.
You know what I'm saying?
So, you know, it's the sheep mentality all over the world, and the flock is strong and it's dangerous too.
I just think it's like a social culture of mediocrity, man, where it's like, everybody want to settle because it's easier, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think the difficult path. I think the difficult path sometimes strays people away. But you know, if they want to do it, they're gonna do it. You know what I mean? So if you wanna think for yourself, you wanna do better, you'll do it. You'll find a way.
Yeah. Sometimes it take something very difficult to happen to your life for you to start thinking outside the box. Because, like, man, I was in Louisiana working in the office, and I was good, you know what I'm saying? But I wasn't creative, you know? I had the potential, you know? Once I stopped living that life and I came out here, and things was different.
Mm-hmm.
There was time for a change, and it was uncontrollable because I couldn't control it. That's how I wrote that book, because, man, I couldn't do nothing else. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I got a college degree, 10 years in the off field, couldn't get a job, you know?
Yeah.
Nothing meaningful, you know? I can go work temp service, start at the bottom, you know? And then sometimes that'll be hard because they scared you're going to get bored. That's what they'll tell me. I'm overqualified and they're scared I'll get bored.
Mm-hmm.
So that forced me to try to think about what could I do to be successful, you know? Mm-hmm. And no matter what you choose, it's a struggle, you know? Because the people around you, I hate to say it, but they ain't gonna support you, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, you gotta branch out and meet like-minded individuals, and then when you start growing, you know what I'm saying? Like, as black men, we gotta help each other pretty much, because, you know, I don't see nowhere in my history where things was passed down or we was able to, you know, live off of what the last generation did. No, you gotta put your feet on the ground and run. You know,
I feel like that's how you create that family generation wealth. Is, you know what I mean? Is understand that you got to get it yourself.
Yeah.
And then once that time is there, once you put in the work, you are able to give your kids that opportunity to do what you didn't get to start off doing. Because that's how my people always, you know, they explain it to me. Like, you, it gives them the motivation to work harder, knowing that the people before them were working to get them where they're at now.
And see, that's a different mind frame than some of these cats that I hear in your generation, because, man, I see a lot of cats, they just waiting to inherit their parents, whatever they work hard for. And like, man, your parents still living, and they at a good age. You should be out there trying to get it. Why don't you try to match their wealth? Because I feel like to pass down stuff for generations, it should be, I'm not passing it down to my sons, but I'll pass it down to their sons. Because they have a chance to build wealth while we're here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I don't see that in this generation. I see people just waiting, and just, you know, a lot of people just living on their parents and just hermiting, and, you know, they scared to go out there. And
shit, my parents will take their money to the grave before I sit around and wait for them to get passed down to me. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I mean, that's a weird mentality to have, I guess.
It's like a mooching mentality.
Mm-hmm,
but you see it a lot. You know what I'm saying? It could be a random person come up to you and, you know, hook up with you. The next thing you know, they trying to mooch off you, man. Can you give me a place to live? Can you do this? Can you do that? It's always you do something for me instead of hitting you up. Hey, bro, man, I was thinking about you. I'm doing this for you, you know? It's never that, you know, back-to-back.
Never,
you know,
a team, like, effort type stuff.
Never,
you
know, a team effort, yeah.
People just aiming for themselves.
Yes, that selfish mentality.
I thought that's not, you can't get it with that. Actually, that might be easy.
So, in that saying.
Oh, wait. If it's a...
Yes, sir. That's a spinner. You can play it.
Yeah. You might want to play it.
Multiple of these?
Huh? No, it's only one.
One at a time?
You got to spin it, though, huh?
Yeah, you got to put it sideways.
Because if it's double, you got to spin it.
So, check this out. So, that's the big five spinner, right?
Right.
So, we call that a hit bone, right?
Right.
So, anytime I hit, if you got that bone in your hand and I score, then you know you can score after it. If I got a five out there, say if I would have scored off of this, then you play that big five after it, you got five more.
Okay, so I can play another five, what you saying?
No, I'm saying you should hit with it.
Yeah, you should have hit with it when you did that.
When I scored, you score with it. You know, that's one of those bones that, you know, all right, if that man in front of me score, I definitely can score with this bone.
Okay.
Same thing with the bones that come off the spinner. Like, so the spinner was six. Anytime you see, like, say if you had 6-5 right here, that's also a hit bone. Whatever the spinner is, the five of that bone, that's a hit bone.
Okay.
And also the blank, because that can give you the same money that somebody else got.
Gotcha.
Bear with us, folks. You know, this also a training lesson. These men, they busy. They, you know, they doing their thing, making this music, making it happen. They ain't got no time for no bones, but they got time for me at the Boneyard today.
Yes, sir.
And come through.
All right. So, Wentz, let me know, how challenging is it to be an artist and an executive?
I would say, man, it can be challenging. It can be challenging, man. Just trying to manage everything, you know, just trying to run a studio and you know, write and, you know, and do what I got to do as an artist as well, and do things like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, man, if you want to do it, you just got to make time, man. You got to prioritize.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you're not going to get as far as you probably should, you know. But, you know, we out here grinding, trying to do it. You know, I got to keep my priorities, like, on the right levels, for sure.
I feel you. It's hard to fight procrastination, like, all the things, because, you know, all the things we trying to do, Mm. Like you said, it's not enough time in the day. And then if you find yourself sitting up just chilling, then you done lost time and stuff that you could have been doing, something else you could have been pushing, making, yeah. creating.
Yeah,
I feel you on yeah. that. I fight that struggle every day. And you, Chief, you an engineer, you yeah. an artist, you know what I'm saying? How you find your time to—
And in school.
And yeah. you're in school. What you in school for?
Audio engineering.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, I'm at the Spring Branch ACC.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm over there. Get my ass whooped.
That's all right. Hey, if it's not hard, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm. Facts. I mean, to me, man, it's all about being organized, time management, and having balance. I feel like balance is really important. I have ADHD, so my mind is always all over the place.
Everywhere.
Yeah, you know. So I feel like but when I'm organized, I feel focused and stuff. So it's just trying to prioritize, really figure out what you got to get done first. If it's not on the list of what you need to get done today, push it to the bottom. You know what I mean? So. It's realizing that, you know what I mean? It's not like I know this all. Every day is just easy, you know? It's more of a trial and error with some shit. Yes, just figuring out what works best for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel you.
That's me. Now, quick question, though.
Go ahead.
If I don't have either ends of these, how do I do that?
You touch the table and you pull at the boneyard. All
right, damn, okay.
All right, so you're looking for a 6-hour blade.
Ain't no more bones for me.
All right.
One of y'all can play.
I got a rookie question. So right. now... I got this hoe. Yeah. I got both sides. So which one would be better? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So what's going to happen is no matter where you play that bone, the game is going to be locked, right? The okay. person who has the lowest total of points win all the points out of people's hands. You understand me?
Okay.
So play it and I'll show you. All right, so the game locked. So you turn over your bones. I have 8. He have 7. You got 15. So Wentz, you will win the points.
Alright, so what do I do with these?
You flip those over because that was yours.
Okay.
So, but you win all these points, so you'll count them up, you know, 17, okay. 23 spots, so you'll get 25 hey. Points.
Bro, Wentz cheating, I'm telling you, bro.
Yeah. Hey, dog, I look like I won somehow. I must be doing something right.
Alright, so since you locked it up, you wash the dishes.
Okay.
Alright, so we flip them all over to where they're not being revealed. Yes, sir. You wash them on up. So why he washing the dishes, Wentz?
Yeah.
How long have you been rapping?
Man, I've been rapping on and off since I was like, I'd say 17. Yeah. And so I say about...
Watch it good.
Probably like 7 years, you know what I mean? But like, it's been on and off, you know, and right now I just finally put myself in a situation where I can take it seriously, you know, and actually go for it. So that's what I'm doing, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, trying to get it, man. For real.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Give me them dominoes, you a sucky water.
I'm trying to shuffle these hoes up.
Chief, so how long have you been rapping?
Honestly, since about probably 17. 18, you know.
I remember the first when I started rapping, me and my homeboy, he was my upstairs neighbor. We started a click.
What do I do with these chips? I keep doing
that. Yeah, you keep your money.
All right, bitch.
So you get 9 bones. So we started this rap group called 187. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it was a popular movie at that time. Samuel was in it and stuff like that.
What?
But hey, we made us a song. So we going to a community day in the park. I remember it like yesterday. We going to Jenneret, Louisiana. We going to perform in the park. Man, we get out there, I see all them kids and stuff out there, and thought about all this cussing we was doing in these lyrics, man. I'm like, there's no way possible we can perform this in front of all these old ladies and these kids, mm-hmm. you know. And that changed the way I thought about a lot of stuff. You know,
I feel that, cause you know what I mean. I feel like you always get different crowds and stuff, and it just take performing that wrong.
Who got 10?
Oh,
it's a big 6 to start the game off.
Big 6, all right.
Like comedians always say, you have to play for the crowd that's ahead in front of you. You mm-hmm. know, like I know some comedians, they'll switch up their jokes and say. If they go into a ballroom and it's all white folks,
mm-hmm.
they can pull out their white jokes. You know what I'm saying? If it was a room and it's all brothers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They can pull out their brother jokes. So, you know, But we definitely couldn't perform. And my boy wanted to perform, but man, I couldn't cuss in front of people. Not like that, man. We was there. It was a little bit too much going on.
For that.
That was in Louisiana?
Yeah, that was in Louisiana. Okay. All right, so I'm from the Southern Bend, man. It's like a... So if you go to Louisiana, mostly everybody know about Lake Charles, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Up the north is Alexander, Monroe. But it got this road, the old 90, that goes from Lafayette to New Orleans, right? And I stay on that Southern Bend, you know?
Okay.
And down there was Slave Central, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, the people couldn't escape slavery. Much so that when I released my book, I was talking to my aunt, and she told me that she grew up on a plantation, you know? She literally grew up on a slave plantation, you know?
Yeah.
And my great-grandfather, when he stopped working because he caught a stroke.
Mm.
But he still was working for the slave master.
Wow.
In the same fields his ancestors got buried on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm end up doing a documentary, so that'll be coming soon.
Okay.
But nope, you can't play this. Who played that?
Oh, because yeah, my bad. Yeah. My bad.
But like
I'm gonna play this.
I found that like every time somebody dies, every time there's a funeral, we find ourselves at the same graveyard. The same graveyard over and over. Everybody is basically still getting buried on the slave land. You know what I'm saying? So it's like they escaped slavery, but did they really mentally? Because they're still getting buried in the same places as our ancestors did, you know? So doing my research, I realized that nobody couldn't tell me that because they didn't know. You know, they was just jumping off the porch. So how they was gonna know what I should do to be better in this world when, you know, they just
took a leap of faith.
Yeah, you know, like, and most of them, they went out in the world, but they came back, you know? Like, I know my parents, for example, they went to college, they went to Grambling, and then they came back, and they stayed back in the country, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they always preached, go to college, but they didn't say what to do, you know?
Yeah.
Go and what to expect and how the world really was, you know? Because if you don't grow up in the country, if you don't grow up in the city, then you're like sheltered some because you don't know how it really, really is out in the world, you know?
Yeah.
And then local news, wherever you at, only go play so much, you know? They ain't gonna show you like what's going on in
like
Houston if you're in South Louisiana, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, it was eye-opening, mind-opening, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yo, play.
Okay. What am I hit y'all with right now?
If you got 4-4, you can hit us with 20.
No. All
right.
I got 4-6.
All right, that's a good play. But I'm still hitting, you know what I'm saying? 15.
Yeah.
It's all right. I ain't scored no points in like the first hand.
I'm struggling with this.
So remember, if you can't hit, if you can't score here, you can go behind the house.
Oh no, I'm still good.
All right.
Yeah.
So, got a question.
What's up?
I'm gonna start with Chief Aaliyah because it's your play.
All right.
What's gonna separate your music from a lot of the music we hear now in the industry?
I feel like the first thing that starts off with just being original. If you're original, nobody is you. So therefore, you're already separating yourself. The minute you start folding it and acting like being like everybody else, then you losing that point. So I want to take what I do and build off that in my own craft. It may not be where I want it to be yet, but I know if I put the dedication and work into that, it's going to grow because I've seen it grow. I've seen it grow from me recording at my parents' house on like a shitty ass microphone to learning how that microphone works, to get into better programs, to learn how to use it, to doing it at school, fucking up at school, to getting better with that. You know what I mean? Getting all town like knowledge of it. I really don't like school, but I like the knowledge you get out of it so that I can apply it. I'm in a really good position with TKO Studios that I can take all the information I'm getting and take it straight to the studio. And I think that's what matters to me the most because it keeps the motivation of why am I in class? Oh, so I can go to the studio and know how to work this and I can learn how to get better with my own craft. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I want to use that to really stand out from everybody else.
I feel you because it's real hard to like be an engineer if you don't have the equipment around. You say if you only working with it at school,
yeah.
then you really looking at it like, yeah, why am I doing this? Because but I feel you. Yeah. So you taking the knowledge straight from classroom straight to the workspace.
Mm-hmm. It's like a combination of taking what you, you know, what you learn yourselves and then going to school to put, to fill in those holes, to ask the professor like, hey, I'm doing this, but I'm not getting that. So yeah. How can I get that right? I think the personal connections you make at a community college really help compared to like, maybe, not to say bigger schools aren't like that, but you just get a more personal connection. It's more intimate because the classes are smaller compared to universities.
Yes, sir.
You know?
I feel you.
So it's just process.
You still ain't playing yet?
Nah, look, check it out. I'm trying to wait till y'all done, but I don't.
You can't play? 6 or 2?
Oh, you know what? No, my bad. I forgot to play this other side.
All right. Now, the same question to you.
Yeah.
What separates your music from a lot of stuff we hear today and different artists?
I think being true to myself, I'll be able to. Just being true to myself and stay telling the truth, that I'll be able to separate myself, because I feel like a lot of folks be lying, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like the way the game's moving, it's kind of like separating itself from me a little bit, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? So like, I feel like I kind of like grew up and my music is influenced by like artists that are a little bit like doing anything a little bit older, you know what I'm saying? So like
the storytelling genre.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Or just, you know, just like that 90s era or whatever, like, you know, there was more about the craft or some and stuff like that. So I think that in that way, staying true to that, I'll also be a little different, you know. All
right. I think we moved into an era where it's more content over quality.
Yes.
So from a marketing point of view, oh yeah, you can just keep throwing shit out into the world, you know what I mean? Like, as long as there's just shit there that people can market, is good. But not every artist got their own way of doing stuff, but it's like when you focus on quality, you take more time with the work, you know what I mean? It's the craft of putting in the, like, how you want it to sound, how you see it, hear it in your head.
Yes, sir.
So that means a lot, I feel like, to anybody who wants to create their own art.
So with that being said, why don't you tell me who were some of the people that, like, some of your role models growing up, listening to in the industry, you know, like, mm-hmm. Mine growing up, I was big on Tupac, okay. You know, and yeah, shit, it was all Tupac. You know what I'm saying?
So, that's a good role model to have.
Who were some of your influences?
I would say in music or outside of music.
Oh, you can do whatever.
All right, I think Jay Prince, for sure. Jay Prince, definitely Jay Prince.
Man, Jay Prince always impressive, man. When I like, he's retired now, Andre Ward, but when I found out Jay Prince was, man, Jay Prince had Andre Ward, and I was, man, like, what? You know what I'm saying?
He been in that boxing stuff, you know what I'm saying? He almost put together a super fight with Roy Jones and Mike Tyson back in the day. He almost had it.
Hey.
You know?
Tyson would have got cream. I mean, not Tyson. Roy Jones would have got cream. My bad, folks. Hey, I'm tripping. Tyson would have killed Roy Jones. Roy Jones was a never bad know. Man. Oh, ain't no never know, man. The weight difference was just too ridiculous.
I think Roy Jones going to get his weight. You know what I'm saying? They was going to come down to the same weight.
It don't matter.
You know?
Tyson hit way harder. You know what I'm saying? But, man, he did put a super fight together, though, that Ward and Kovalev. Man.
Oh, he put that together? Yeah. And that was a good fight.
Man, then Ward beat him twice? Oh, man. Bro, go down as one of the best in history.
Yeah, especially how Ward came back from the first fight. He almost got knocked out.
He almost got knocked out.
Yeah. So, Jay Prince, I listen to Lupe Fiasco. I think he's a big influence. Like I said, Jay-Z, Nas, SUC, Trey, Zero, you know. If they wouldn't, like, it, just people, I believe that, like, they telling the truth, you know. And then outside of rap, like, I think, like, Che Guevara and, like, also, like, Che Guevara and, like, let's see, Tupac, a lot of revolutionary cats, you know what I'm saying, that kind of like made a difference.
And how about you, Chief?
Growing up, I'd probably say about, I was a Tupac fan, but I'm probably a bigger Biggie fan. Pharrell, definitely. Kanye, Jay-Z, NWA, I thought what they did was kind of groundbreaking in the sense of it. Yes, and then seeing how they kind of, they all branched off into their own world of stuff that I think is really dope, that like made a lot of difference in hip hop. I was a huge Eminem fan.
Really?
The Slim Shady era. Eminem. I put him out there. Like before I started listening to Tyler and all that crazy shit, I was listening to Eminem's demonic ass.
Talking about killing his baby mama.
Yeah, all that crazy shit. But you know, just different people like that. I was looking more at the lyricist side, the people who played the background scenes too. You know what I mean? They could be in front of the camera, but they handle business like 50 Cent, P. Diddy, Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Outside of music, I've always been a Dave Chappelle fan. Just because he, you know, he's really intelligent, but he's funny as hell. And I feel like that's important if you can inform people and make them laugh. Because, you know what I mean?
He wasn't funny as hell before the Chappelle show.
You feel like he wasn't funny? I loved his stand-ups.
I grew up looking at Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy and stuff. So
they funny, though.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to think of people I don't know. I didn't have that many people before Dave Chappelle I listened to. I was listening to all these like white comedians and stuff. Like,
So you ain't grew up on the Red Fox, and you know that was a different kind of funny. And Chappelle, you know, he was more of a crossover type funny.
Yeah,
you know,
he kind of like bleed in, the in betweens and stuff. You know what I mean?
You know,
Did you think his show was funny?
Oh hell yeah! Well, not the first season. I didn't think the first season was funny.
You didn't?
I think the show really got funny once he got Charlie Murphy on in there. Once Charlie Murphy got on board with the Chappelle show, then it was funny as hell.
Yeah,
you know.
For that. Yeah, I grew up off that, man. Chappelle, shout out to Chappelle, dog.
Rick James, bitch. Oh man, that was hilarious. I seen that that exact episode the other day with Charlie Murphy talking about Rick James and stuff. Man,
we were watching that in the studio.
Man, rest in peace to both of them, man.
Yeah.
Charlie said Rick James coming in there with them old dirty shoes on.
Oh
he
yeah.
Said,
man,
fuck y'all couch, nigga. That was straight hilarious, man.
Man, on that Prince episode when he served the pancakes at the end, dog, I said, that shit crazy. He said, and then he game blouses or something like that, man. I was like, yo. That Prince is one of my favorite sketches right there.
But another thing about Dave Chappelle that's live is, you know what I mean? He built his career up to that point, and then he saw when people were trying to take it away from him, he was able to step back and be like, no, this isn't right. And just, I feel like in a lot of positions, a lot of people would have just taken that money and let their show gone to whatever it would have like gone to. So I feel like you look at things like that when you can make sacrifices. And
his show disappeared, though.
Yeah. I mean, it disappeared on... But he disappeared. It wasn't even just, you know what I mean? I'd rather it disappear on my terms than anybody else ruining it.
Hey, sometimes you got to go with the punches. Let it keep going.
If it was you, would you have let it keep going?
What was the situation?
Well, he basically, it was like that. What were they trying to do, renew the next season?
So it was like they gave him some crazy ass budget. Like, what, wasn't it like $50 million or something like that to do season 3? And but he said it just became something he ain't like.
They were gonna control the skits.
I don't know every detail, but you know what I'm saying. But it was like something he couldn't control it no more. Like what was getting put out.
Looking at what he was doing, you had all the racist stuff. He was touching everything. So I can't even imagine what they wanted him to do that he didn't want to do. You know what I'm saying? What was they trying to cut back on some stuff? Because you know. It was a no limit to what he was doing. I think he should have just took that $50 million, did what the people wanted. His show would have still been going on to this day. Mm-hmm. Another artist who I don't know what happened to him, but he was hot. Then all of a sudden he wasn't no more. Chris Tucker, you know, Chris Tucker could have been the next funniest man since Eddie Murphy. You know, he had it all. You know, he was doing the Rush Hours. He did Friday. He was doing stuff with. What's that white boy? Crazy. Sheen.
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was everywhere and he was funny. Then all of a sudden he don't want to do Friday, the Second Friday. You know what I'm saying? And then he just fell off.
No, what happened was he couldn't do Second Friday because of Rush Hour. Yeah, so then I think from there, I don't know what happened from there. He kind of did just dip off though.
Now that I think about it, like, it's not too many comedians that end up end up lasting for a whole long. It's like, I mean, they were around, but like as far as like when they hot, you know, like It always comes to some
type of in the end, it always goes to people's head, man. Like Monique, for example, you know?
I don't even hear
Monique was on top of the world, you know? And now she ain't nobody wanted to do nothing. I just heard the other day she got into it with Steve Harvey on his show, you know?
Whatever.
I don't know. It probably was something, behind her crazy husband, you know what I'm saying? Because if you see Monique now, you know, we all know Monique. Roscoe Jenkins, Monique Show, everything Precious, everything Monique ever did, this woman put that work in.
Yeah.
She deserved to be on top, right?
Definitely.
But now, whenever she's talked, she always putting her husband first. Like, who is this cat, man? We don't know this cat. Mm-hmm. We know Monique. Let your husband be in the background where he's supposed to be, and you try to get your name back out there good. Mm-hmm. But every time she on the show or something, it's always, then she be calling him daddy in public, you know what I'm saying? Because daddy, like, girl, you sound like a fat girl who finally getting some, and you don't know how to act in public now, you know what I'm saying? Come on, girl, get your mind right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just crazy. So, look, here in the Boneyard, normally it's about winning and losing. Nah, but it's not. You know, y'all new to the game, I wanted to introduce y'all to the game. But this next segment, I want y'all to really introduce yourselves to this world. All right. We back with Chief Aaliyah. So, yeah. Chief, got a question.
What's up?
No, with 106 and Park being gone, no more your MTV raps, no more Rap City. How, and then, you know, there's YouTube and stuff like that, but how you feel that you can really put yourself out there, put your music out there?
I feel like it's personal that you make your own way to put your own content out. Mm-hmm. So like, if you know you're more of a writer person, I would say go make a blog. I mean, go talk, find where your audience is, basically. If you know your audience is people who want to hear your music, make sure you put your music in every streaming platform. Make sure you're on Apple Music, Tidal, all that stuff. If you want people to see what you do on a daily basis, make a vlog. Make something where you can capture all your content. People can see what you what's going on. I feel like you don't need a record label to do all that stuff. You just need a camera and the internet. So I feel like it sucks that we don't have stuff like MTV Jams and stuff like that, where like a live audience, people come down and actually get the character of the artist. But now that's pretty much just moved on to YouTube.
Yeah.
You know?
But sometimes it's hard for people to really, like, if you in the DC area, say you here in the Houston area, you know, it's hard for other people, other places to really try to, you know, why would they search and try to find out who you is unless they stumble across you, you know?
It's like sometimes I feel like you just got to put it in their face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because there's so many artists out there. The game, it's saturated a little bit, but it's like, that's how you got to think. Like, if you feel like you're trying to be that artist, all right, I'm going to do what I need to do to get in front of that person's face. And maybe not even like that, but it's like, you still going to remember my face.
Now,
maybe from next time.
I remember growing up, I used to meet so many artists because they would try to sell me their CD, you know? Do people still put their feet to the ground and get it out there and try to distribute themselves to the public?
I think people still do, and it'll always be a thing. It's just like I said, every 10 years, the music industry is saying people ain't handing out CDs. Nowadays, you're more likely to get a USB handed to you before you get a CD or a business card, because it's just people basically creating ways that you can just hand off their stuff. You can go look them up online.
Yeah.
And you just got to
A card. And you, but if somebody give me a card, then that card just might go in the pocket. But if somebody give me a CD, I'm going to put that in my tape deck.
They're making cars now without even tape decks. You know what I mean? So it's like, what are you going to do with the CD if someone doesn't have one to put it in around?
Everything ain't got a CD player no more?
Nope.
What?
I promise you, CDs are, think about it, Best Buy doesn't even sell CDs anymore. So it's like, what you finna do? But that's what I'm saying, you got to figure out different ways. So, you know, if you got a show, every show you should have some type of merch or handing out something so people are leaving with something to remember you by. Now, every chance you get, you hand a CD, a USB, doesn't mean someone can take the hoe and just throw it away and not care. But it's like, you got to be prepared for that as an artist. You got to be prepared for the no's and the yes's.
All right.
You know what I mean?
So, Chief Aaliyah, why don't you leave my audience something to remember you by?
All right. Yeah. Hey. Okay, look, it's the Boneyard beat. It's your boy Chief stacking up like dominoes. I never been a hoe, I'm at that 6250. That's the TKO, you know how it go. I keep it 10-toed, coming straight up out the mo. That's the most city, niggas hella grimy.
I can't get with it. I'm trying to run up digits, I'm trying to handle business. You know I gotta get it, I gotta get my thriller. Ay, I don't do the small talk, knock it out the ballpark. Underground all-star, sliding through your Walmart. Handling my business is part of my own religion. Niggas kinda fitting, cause they ain't got realness in them. I like thick women, counting digits. Ninja ramen, shroom tripping. You moving funny, we laughing to the bank. Benji's on my mind, I cannot worry what you think.
Yeah.
You feel me?
That's Chief Aaliyah, everyone.
Yeah.
How can these people follow you?
Find me at any social media site, website, Chief Aaliyah, C-H-I-E-F-A-L-E-E-L. And look up TKO Studios. We have a new website coming soon. We're on all social media platforms. Fuck with me. Fuck with TKO.
Get with TKO. That's what I'm talking about. Now we here with the CEO of TKO Studios. So, Wentz.
What's good? What's good?
Being a CEO is all about business most of the time. Yep, you know, normally you really don't have time to play. You know, you got other people you worried about. You worried about yourself. So, let these people know, how could they come to TKO and work with you?
Okay. So, you know, at TKO Studios, we located right off of 59, like conveniently, right off 59 freeway, you know what I'm saying? So you can catch us on Instagram at TKO Studios and on Twitter at TKO Studio 713. And you can book a session through the DMs. Also, the phone number for TKO Studios is 713-319-8300. You can book through the phone. We also have a website finna launch, so you can also catch us on there. Book online, you know. You go online, you might get some discounts. We can work out some negotiations, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, something exclusive. You know, tell them the Boneyard sent y'all. You know, my boy got you.
For sure, for sure, yeah.
So, if anybody get anything, if they take anything from this podcast, what do you want them to know about Wentz and TKO?
About Winston O'Ryan and TKO, man, we gonna, man, like just to be aware, you know, we coming, you know, that's it. Like we coming,
they
you know,
coming.
We coming, you know what I mean? We coming for everything. So just, you know, stay on the move, stay on the lookout, you know what I'm saying? Watch what we got going on. And man, just know we gonna tell the truth, man. There's no, none of that. I don't know, man. Like I ain't familiar with the industry like that. I ain't in it. So, but like, you know, just like I try to keep it true, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So look, before we get on out here, why don't you bless the audience with a little Winston O'Ryan?
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Wentz. Yeah. Turnkey. Yeah.
Post belling, dope selling, propelling high. Coach Bredrin, row 7, so set can shine. Step aside, sun made, don't wanna see the Mac raising. Bag chasing, strolling loaded, press for time. Heaven's eye, Chanel him to the cross. For the cross of a boss, like Ross. Above jaw, recognize, flipping zips. Boy's pride was near gone. Now I throw bows like Muay Thai or Lil Jon. Put my dogs on bread like grill tongue. Get put to rest like Amir Khan. If I need to prove point, I can never lose poise. Air that like flute noise. Get it cracking like pool joints. Supply fix, don't wait, donate to my click. Turn key till they burn me. No way to lock pick. Got more straps than straight jackets. But cats attack and surprise like plot twist. Yeah.
Yeah. And the plot thickens. Everyone. Mess with TKO.
Hey, catch me out on Twitter at Winston O'Ryan. On Instagram at turn_key till they burn me. Yeah,
get with it. And again, thank y'all for joining the Boneyard. We out.